take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Galatians chapter number 4. You pray for me to put me some water here. My voice is about gone. As one fellow said, I ain't got but one gear. If I strip it, I'm in a mess. Amen. But I had the privilege to preach somewhere else the first part of the night, and it's been several weeks since I've had an opportunity to preach, and my voice wasn't used to it, so it's kind of gravelly. But I got a message I want to preach tonight. I get to preach on missions everywhere I go. But thank God tonight I don't have to preach on missions. Amen. I preach on something else. And if you found Galatians chapter number 4, I want you to stand to your feet. We read just two verses to get us started tonight, verses number 4 and 5. The Bible says in verse number 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." I'm interested tonight in verse number 4, in the phrase, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth." And Lord being my helper tonight, I'm going to preach on that title, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth." Father, thank you for what we've heard tonight. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Thank you that we can remember vividly when we got saved and know that we're on our way to heaven. God, we thank you for that blessed hope and the assurance of eternal salvation. Now, Father, I ask for your help tonight. I want to say a word in season that'll help your people. God, I pray you direct me, direct my mind and my thoughts, my lips and my words and all that's done tonight. May it honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and be good for your people. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me say tonight, I want to preach on that thought about the fullness of time. You see, the reason we've met together tonight is because of time. We have met together tonight to celebrate or to wave goodbye or see off an old year and to usher in a new year. And God has blessed us with this thing called time. I can't understand all there is to know about time, and I've read behind scientists and how they try to figure out how time works, and I don't know how time works. I know this: before God created this earth about 6,000 years ago, there's no such thing as time. But when God said, "Let there be light," and God created the earth, God created time. And we live under the constraints of time, and we're limited by time, but thank God He's not, amen? Time doesn't bother God. He transcends time. He goes beyond time. There wasn't no time until God made time, amen? And so tonight I've been thinking about this thought all week long, this thought about the fullness of time. And that phrase there, I believe time there is not referring to a particular date on the clock or a certain hour, but when it says the fullness of the time was come. And I believe he's referring to a dispensation of time. And God has always dealt with man in dispensations of time. And each of one of them came to its fullness and passes on. And by the way, this dispensation we're living in now, this dispensation of grace, it's going to come to its fullness someday. And God's going to do something different. And I began to think about the times in the Bible when there was a fullness of time. And my first thought was in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5 through 8, where the Bible says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So there was a time of evil imaginations. And man's heart was evil. The imagination of man's heart was set on evil things, and to the point that the whole world was caught up in this matter of evil imaginations. In fact, if you study your Bible, you'll find there that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and except for Noah and his family, the rest of the world was caught up in evil imaginations. Now notice what the Bible says, verse number 6. "And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, he didn't repent in the fact of saying he's sorry he'd done something or he did something wrong. No, when God repents, God's repentance always comes as a result of man's response to God. Man didn't do what God wanted him to do, so repented God that he had made man. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So when the fullness of time was come in Noah's day, when the fullness of evil imaginations, God sent forth destruction. God brought destruction on all of the world. He said, I'm going to destroy all of mankind. In fact, he destroyed almost everything that was living. And when the fullness of, when the world was so full of evil imagination and man's heart was only evil continually, the fullness of time came and God sent forth destruction and destroyed everything except what he saved on the ark. Can I say something tonight? There's coming another fullness of time. God has promised us that he would never destroy the earth by flood again. Now you get a hold of that. He said he would never destroy the earth by flood and gave us a ark of colors called a rainbow in the sky that assured us of that promise. But he did not promise that he would never destroy it again. He promised that he would not do it by flood. And friends, I'm telling you tonight, there's coming another fullness of time when God is going to bring destruction on this earth. You find out about that in the book of 2 Peter in chapter number 3, and I'm trying to hurry. It says, and knowing this first, that it shall come in the last days, scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And that's not true. I don't have time to explain that, but that's not true. Things changed after the flood. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with the water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now you know as well as I do, we live in a godless generation. We've told God we don't need him. The earth is full of scoffers and mockers and doubters and naysayers. And God said that was going to take place. And we're going to get so full of that stuff that when the fullness of this comes, God is going to send destruction on this earth. It reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Look at verse 10 in 2 Peter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? And God is looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. There was a time when man's thoughts were only evil continually, and when that time was full and God had had enough, he sent destruction and destroyed the world by flood. And there's another day coming, and it's not very far off, when God's long-suffering and God's patience with man will come to an end, and it'll be the end of that time, and God's going to send forth destruction again. I say to you and me tonight, we ought to be well aware and understand that that time is coming and to be prepared for that. There was a time of enslavement. You remember the story of Israel, how that they were taken down into Egypt, and the Pharaoh died, and a new Pharaoh came on the scene, and they were afraid of the Israelites, and they put them under bondage. For in the process of time, the king of Egypt died. The children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of bondage. Exodus 3:7 says this, God said to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. And listen to this, Brother T.M., I never heard this, saw this till today when I was studying this. God's speaking to Moses at the burning bush, prepared him to go and be a deliverer. And here's what God said. He said to Moses, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian. I never saw that before. God was going to send Moses to deliver his people, but God said, I'm come down to deliver my people. And boy, the time was full. They were in enslavement. They were under bondage. They were under a heavy taskmaster. And the fullness of that time came, and God sent forth a deliverer named Moses to deliver his people. I can imagine the children of Israel for years would cry out and say, where's our God? Can he not hear our cry? And yes, God heard his cry. Can I tell you this? Amos said this, behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, that I'll send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to east, and they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. And I find that there came a time when God cut off speaking to people, the prophets went by the wayside, and for 400 years before the birth of Christ, man heard nothing from God. And they were in bondage. They hadn't heard from God, so all their religious leaders came up with all kinds of traditions and ceremonies and put those people under bondage to a religious system, and God said, I've had enough. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Thank God for the fullness of time. And God has sent us to deliver us, to deliver us from the bondage of sin. But let me give you another thought, and I'll try to find a place to close because the time's about out. But I think about the time of the end. Five times in his little prophetic book, Daniel spoke of the time of the end. And I find that as God was dealing with his people about the end times, and I believe we've been in the end times since Jesus went back to heaven, but I thought about this. There's been a time of impatience. You think about this. But Jesus said about the Pharisees and the scribes and those in Matthew chapter 23, how that they sat in Moses' seat. But Moses was supposed to be a deliverer. They weren't delivering the people. They were putting the people under heavy burdens. In fact, the Lord said, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and won't even pick up a little finger to relieve them. That binding heavy burdens pictures the idea of a beast of burden. And you put so much burden on that beast that he collapsed under the load. And that's what the leaders of Israel did. They put their people under such a heavy burden, they were not able to bear it. That's when Jesus, trying to help them, cried out, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen does her chickens, and you would not. And he said to them, your house is left unto you desolate. There was a time of impatience, a time, if you will, of intolerance. And God sent them, what did I just say? God sent them desolation. And God took his hand off of Israel and has set them aside, and the natural branches have been cut off, and thank God the wild ones are getting grafted in. Amen. When the fullness of time was come for the nation of Israel, God sent forth desolation. But Paul warns the church when he said to them, he cut off the natural branches and grafted in the wild branches, I believe speaking about the church age. He said, you better take heed, lest also he spare thee not. See, there's coming a time when this dispensation will be over. We'll reach a fullness of time. That speaks of the time of his imminent return. Thank God he's going to send us our deliverer. God sent him the first time as a lamb that was led to the slaughter. And God sent him that time to purchase our pardon. But thank God he's coming back the second time to redeem us from this present evil world and take us out of here. And I'll be glad when the fullness of time gets, I believe it's about here. Then there's a time, and I'll close with this. There's a time of inescapable ruin. I believe in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 7, we won't take time to go there, but I believe the Apostle Paul was trying to help them understand some things about the rapture and what was going to take place. And he told them that the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And he goes on to say, and I believe this is applicable, and I believe I understand this right, that when the rapture of the church takes place, all of God's, when the fullness of time is come for this dispensation, the Lord Jesus Christ will return in the clouds of glory and take us up out of here. And we'll be with him forever. But can I say something tonight? Those of us that are here, we've heard the gospel message. We know the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the truth about our sin, and we reject it, and we reject it, and we reject it. And when the fullness of time comes and God takes us out of here, you'll be left behind, and the Bible says you'll be given strong delusion to believe a lie. I thought about this today. We live under constraints of time, and we're looking for the day when we live in eternity where there'll be no time. It'll all be just one day. In fact, it may just be one moment. But can I say this to you tonight? Whatever state you're in, when the fullness of time comes, that's the state you'll be in eternally. Be no more time. No time to get right with God. No time to get saved. No time to come before an old-fashioned altar like this and confess your sins. Time will have ended. We'll be in eternity. And when this fullness comes and you've not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be eternally without God, without Christ. You'll be in hell because there won't be a time for you to get right with God. When the fullness of time was come, and I don't know about you, but when that time comes, I want to be ready to meet my Lord and to meet my Savior. And I believe with all of my heart, the verge of that time when time will be no more. Father, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for giving us time to repent. Oh God, I pray tonight there's one here that's never been saved. Give them that time tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.